Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming up on TMS... Bling the schmegma.
Nobody kissed my dice.
Side saddled the toilet.
We went to Vegas and nobody died.
Hot cow piss.
Loud volumetric human.
Baby needs a new pair of frog pants.
Only murders in the dungeon.
Don't forget to pop your nibble.
Undock your Claire Hess.
Bobby is Rain Man. Definitely Rain Man.
Contractionating words.
Don't eat zoo food.
Punchedinthearm.com.
Scott takes a class with major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Now listen, men. To back us out of a guy, you just better leave a saga touching off the sub, see? And remember, above all, to Edinoba Dirijibo, Reckonum Fosco, Fanny Schnipper, and El on a Filigadusha. You got that?
Got that new ship smell.
The Morning Stream es muy caliente.
Oh man, look at what we got here. This is a Morning Stream show with Brian and Scott. That's right, we exist. We came back from Vegas. We lived. We survived.
We made it.
Yeah, it happened. It's May the 1st. All right. We got them. We're not doing that thing. We already did a pre-show. It's out of the way.
Yeah, if you want to hear that thing that people do on the 1st of May.
Yeah.
Oh, that other thing. Not talking about the Jonathan Colton thing, because that's a different thing.
Very different thing. But you can go find that. Yeah, just go on YouTube, search for Justin Timberlake and the name May. You're good.
Or become a Patreon or patron, and then you'll hear us do it.
Oh, Brian, I like the sound of this. Wow. All right. Wait, well done. I like that you curved it into a purchasable moment. I like
that's
it.
That's right. Exactly. Monetized it like Gene Simmons would.
That's right. He would too. That's what he'd do. Would. Anyway, we're back. We came home from Vegas and we had a really good time. Everybody there was great.
Oh,
we had
God.
Nobody died. Nobody fell ill.
No, I mean it was a textbook event. I don't know. The banner event. It went as well or better than we could have expected.
Yeah, there's only so much you can guarantee, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like we got right up on the line of the guarantee. Like
we didn't
falter or fall short of the guarantee, no. As far as I know.
May have exceeded it.
There is always this feeling, though. Always. Every event, doesn't matter what we're... BlizzCon, Nerdtacular, this, doesn't matter.
Sure.
There's always this moment where I realize there are at least five, probably more people... who I thought I would hang out with a bunch and barely got to see.
Yeah.
And I hate that. Like, I barely saw Zoe. It was like 5 seconds with Zoe. It sucked.
Yeah.
I could have made something better happen. September, same thing. I barely saw her, although I feel like I saw her more than I saw Zoe. But I saw Jeff Sire for a hot minute in the pool. We had a great conversation. I just think the world of that guy. And then I hardly saw him the rest of the time. And I just felt like, well, that sucks. He came all the way from Canada and I barely got to hang out with him. So there's those moments. I always have those regrets at these things. But for the most part, it was great. Everybody there was great. Everything was great. It was great.
I think everybody understands that. What we have 112 people show up, something like that?
I think that was our total, yeah.
That in the amount of time that we had, trying to get to spend all the time we'd want to spend with everybody would require us being there for a couple weeks. It would require all of us being there for a couple weeks.
Yeah, we can't do that. Nobody can do that in Vegas.
No. So
you have to live.
Yeah, I get to spend quite a bit of time on Wednesday night with a bunch of people playing craps. We took over the entire stadium gambling area of the plaza. Mm-hmm. And
that was a weird place. That I didn't know that was a thing, like with the big ball dice roller thing with a camera on it. And
yeah
like it's all robots running that stuff.
It's all robots, but it allows, you know, if you're Jack Spratt and you like craps, and your wife can eat no craps. No, anyway, you know, if you're there with your friends, your significant other, and they don't like the game that you like, they can play a different game and still be right next to you. So you can be playing blackjack, they can be playing roulette right next to you or something else, and sure. It allows you to hang out and still do stuff together without necessarily having to be. Yeah,
and I had a robot lady saying stuff I don't understand. Like, don't forget to pop your nibble before the jing jang drops into the.
It was
schmip.
So much weird stuff. Pay the don't come the frank, bling the schmegma, whatever. Yeah,
it's weird. It's really bling the schmegma. All right then,
bling the schmegma.
I guess it's still a little bit. I watched you play a bunch, and I watched others play, and I got a better sense of how craps works. But I still kind of have no idea. Sort of.
I mean, all you're doing the basis of craps, it really comes down to one thing: can I roll the same number twice without rolling the number seven between them? That's
what it comes
all
down
craps
to.
Is.
Okay. Well, that's good to remember, because then everything else you can just sort of intuit as you build on.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can, you know, you can do it with your pass line is doing it with one number, and then you say, "Oh, I bet I can do it with two numbers," and so you do a come bet and you get a second number to make that same bet with. That's really all it is. And then you can bet, "I bet I can roll double sixes or double fours or whatever."
Yeah.
So,
did you ever do the thing like the stereotypic movies where they're like, well, there's no dice to blow on, but going like,
right.
All right, baby, 7 come 11, or, you know, whatever all the stupid
baby needs
to
a new pair of shoes, something like that. Yeah. No, because I don't think I'd be able to do it and keep a straight face. I never had somebody kiss my dice or blow on my dice or any of that stuff.
No.
It's like, no, we talked about superstition. I imagine we'll talk about it a lot more when Bobby's here tomorrow, but we talked about superstition at the table. I have zero superstitions at the table. I don't care if somebody puts a $50 bill on the table. I don't care if somebody says the number seven while they're standing at the table. But
well, that's because you're a reasonable adult who doesn't believe in stupid
exactly.
shit like that.
When I want to blame, you know, if I want something to blame my losses or my wins on, it's just that's the way the dice roll.
Yeah,
that's it.
And you understand the odds, you understand the house advantage, all that stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Super fun though. It's fun watching Bobby win money because he'd never played it before.
Man. He'd never played. He basically evil ricked the craps machine because a couple of years ago when we had Evil Rick playing craps, it was his first time. We were actually at the table. We took over one of the tables, and Evil Rick had never played before, and he like cleaned up and won so much money for the rest of us. Like it was amazing watching him just go and go and go.
Fun watching all of you win money. You won money. I watched you win.
I did this time. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. It did real well.
Started with $100, walked away from them. Well, turned into a coach at $450. I pulled my money out and then just started coaching everybody else. And
it's still great.
Everybody but one person started making a lot of money, and that one person just did not follow my advice about playing, you know, keeping odds bets up. Every time I look over, she had pulled her, "I'm pulling this bet. I don't have a lot of money, Brian. I'm pulling this bet."
Can't imagine who that was. That voice.
Yeah.
Like, just
yeah,
I have no
can't
idea.
Imagine. I can't. Yeah. I can't, certainly can't do it with
you know, it's a bit of a blessing, though. Like, Claire was in Vegas, and Claire is a very loud, volumetric human.
Yes.
But it turns out when she does that enough, her voice, speaking of voices that are wrecked, mine's still a little wrecked. Hers went to, it's just like a raspy nothing.
It really did. I mean, it was day two, I think, that right, because Sunday night was the, you know, high roller, and Verbena's at the Cosmo. I think she still had her voice on Monday, but I think it was gone. It was gone on Tuesday for sure.
The dry climate probably helped, but the point is that Claire, quiet Claire, unusual experience for us. We're not used to it. So that was a little weird.
And it's not
weird.
For lack of trying. She just hisses very loudly.
Yeah, it's a loud hiss. And it's like, what is that sound? Oh, it's Claire trying to talk. Okay, fine. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's great. I wish I understood the game more, but it was really fun watching you guys play it. And then the cigar smoke started to murder me. And it was 1:30 a.m. and I said, I'm going to bed. That's what
I'm
gonna
do. It was a good choice.
And you know what I did?
I
slept so good in Vegas. Every night I slept there, even though the bed was broken. Oh, a couple things I just like to mention.
Yeah.
Clearly, we were in a non-renovated room. There's a bunch of rooms that are renovated in the plaza.
Yeah.
Ours was not one of them.
It was not one of them?
No,
okay.
It was a nice view. It was a southern view of the entire rest of the strip, like up going south. And so you could see all the way down to Mandalay from there. It was really cool. So we love the view. That's why she gave it to us. But the bed had a TLC channel 900-pound life
that's right,
dent in it. It was a huge dent that like dipped down.
Oh, man.
And then, you know,
and that doesn't, I'll tell you, that does not come from somebody sleeping in there and then getting up and then sleeping in there for another. Somebody
got wild in there is what I'm thinking.
Oh, I was thinking somebody... Somebody passed away.
Oh, it could have been that. Could have been a death. Oh, shit. I didn't think about that.
I think it was the body had been there that long. That it just
I don't like how well I slept on it now. Well, anyway, I slept fine. The bed was fine. It turned out for me anyway. Kim hated it, so we had to swap sides. But I ended up sleeping like a rock every night, partly because we wore ourselves out every day. But the other things were there's a towel rack near the bathroom where the sink is. And if you pull the towel, the entire rack just shatters and falls off. None of my drawers, we usually when we go like something like this for a few days, Kim and I will put clothes in the drawers they provide, right?
So yeah, of course. Yeah, Tina and I do the same thing. Makes you feel like you're there, you know?
Yeah, and these were all broken. Yeah. They didn't work, so we couldn't open those. So we ended up living out of our bags. And then what was the other thing? Oh, the TV would only work if you were 1 inch from it. And by that, I don't mean the remote. So that was one thing. And then there was one other thing. What was it?
Who watches TV while they're in Vegas? Oh, my God. What's going on?
That's
here?
A good point. We fell asleep to Food Network a couple of nights.
Oh, see, that makes sense. That's the whole Guy Fieri thing.
Yeah, it's you know, he's having gangster time and we're just sort of chilling.
Exactly. We are in our room. The bathroom, again, was so narrow. I think it's better than the typical bathrooms where the door whacks the toilet when you try and open it.
Yeah.
But the in our second room, because we moved into a pool level room the second day.
Sure.
The toilet paper roll holder extended over the seat by about a half an inch.
Okay.
Which already makes it difficult. You know, I'm not a skinny guy by any stretch of the imagination. But that, even Tina, like, cuts into her leg. And then the problem is, well, that doesn't include when you've got a roll of toilet paper on it, right? Because it sticks out even further, especially if it's a fresh roll and it's a big roll.
Yeah.
You're like, do I have to side saddle this thing? How is this even going to work? So we basically took the roll off, and then Tina managed to drop it into the toilet. So we were down to just one roll.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was, you know what, for whatever it's worth, it's still
the plaza
loves us and it's fine.
Like I say, it wasn't even worth like changing rooms, plus we had a bunch of stuff in there and I don't want to move it around. But the worst thing though was the water in our sink. When you would turn the water on and if it was hot,
it
smelled like a big old fart in there.
Kathy had the same thing. Like it was so bad Kathy had to change rooms because it was horrendous, apparently.
Yeah, her whole room would reek.
Dizziness. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't even know what to call it. It's like a natural gas smell, but.
Yeah, it was, it was sulfide, something sulfide.
Ours
causing
just,
that smell.
Ours just smelled like the sink was maybe had a million very gross things in it and the hot water would activate it or something. I don't know.
Oh, no, I think it was the water itself.
Might have been the
water smell.
Yeah. But otherwise, fine. You know what? Our toilet, fine. That never backed up, and our shower worked great. That's all you can ask.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Really, well, anyway. As long as I've got a place to shower, sleep, shave, and shit, then I'm pretty much set.
That's you're
really
all good.
Like, the four S's. As long as I've got that.
Yeah, you're not really in your room very often, so
no.
This isn't one of those vacations. All right, it's hilarious. We'll get to this in a minute, but you in particular and me on the minor side are going to be in Vegas a lot this year. And I don't know why. Like, why is it this Vegas year? You're going to go again in a couple of months or a month.
I'm going again actually in about a month and a half. Yeah, I'm going to go on the 16th to see Elvis Costello. Chris Brown bought me a ticket to see Elvis Costello at the Palms.
Nice.
In the little intimate theater there. Like, of course I'm going. Yeah. So I returned the favor, as I said in Discord. I said, I returned the favor by buying myself a plane ticket and a hotel room.
Nice. That's very nice. So, yeah, I'm going for a Mother's Day Taylor Dillon babies thing we're going to do.
That's gonna be so
this
nice.
Month, later this month. So I'm actually going sooner than I'd like. And then after that, Kim's going again in September, or is it October? There might be one more in there for me. Anyway, just weird. Yeah, it's weird. 2023.
You're going in September too with Tanner and Alex and Barry and
oh, nice.
My son Tristan, but also the Tristan that is a tadpooler, Tristan.
Yeah, Tristan.
Tristan Adams.
He owes me a non-alcoholic beverage, that guy.
Does he now?
Yeah, because he showed up. He grabbed me on the way into the arcade and says, tonight I'm buying you a drink, and I don't care what it is. And I said, well, what if it's Coke Zero? He goes, I don't care. He goes, I'm buying you a drink. And I said, cool, I'll take you up on it. And then we got in there, and I never saw him. So he owes me a drink, is what I'm saying.
Anyway. I may have remembered a time during post our show, while the bands were going on, that Tristan either brought you a drink or tried to bring you a drink.
Oh, did he?
And I don't know how much of that you remember.
Because
you had a curiously strong mint.
I had like a very Altoid strong mint. Something. Yeah, that thing it lasted hours. The effect of the mint that I had. But I don't remember that. Did he really bring me something? I
know somebody, he really did. Yeah,
somebody brought me. Bobby Ann got me a I did have a what do you call those, my brain,
Bloody Mary.
But here's the problem. I like a good Bloody Mary. I like the tomatoey thing.
Yeah,
I like a breakfast one where it's just chock full of like crap, like pickles hanging off of it,
right,
bacon and all that.
Celery and all the stuff.
Yeah, I love that. So I was thinking, well, that sounds good. And she says, gotcha. So she brings me one.
Yeah,
it was Clamato because they didn't have any of the tomatoey stuff.
Sure.
It wasn't that great. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. And I don't know why you don't
Sand Dollar is not a breakfast. Like, they're not open in the morning, so there's really no reason for them to keep a lot of Bloody Mary stuff. So I think they really, they were really winging it when they made that one for you.
Why did they have Clamato on hand, though? That's so weird. What else is that included in?
I wonder if they actually had to go to the head to send somebody to main bar to get it. Yeah.
Because
it took a long time, I think, for her to bring that to you. I think
it was a long, I assumed it was just a liner, you know.
Oh, for Micheladas, Tanner explained. So yeah, that's Clamato is used for Micheladas, which you just add beer to a Clamato, and it's a
That sounds bad.
Yeah.
That sounds so bad. Anyway, it was fine. It got the job done. It gave me a little bit of the savory that I like, but it was just like, this is Clamato. This is like something Tom would drink. Anyway, but yeah, I don't remember him bringing...
And your Utah streak is still safe.
Oh, yeah, Utah streak still safe. Yeah, I guess that had something in it, but I don't know what. And I tasted a... What was the thing? Bobby tried to get me to taste... Bobby Ann tried to get me to taste... what'd you call it? A sour... I don't remember the name. But it looked like thick pea. Is what it looked like.
Oh, an amaretto sour, maybe?
Maybe something. I don't know what it was, but she says, here, you need to sip it and try it. And it was horrifying. She says, well, at least try two more sips. The rule is you try it three. You sip three.
Sip three. Oh, whiskey sour. Could have been a whiskey sour, yeah.
Yeah, before you make your judgment, you got to try it. You got to taste it three times. I said, fine. Yeah. I'll taste it three times. Taste it three times. Just as bad the third time as the first time.
Really? Oh, funny.
Yeah,
oh, Travis is saying it was a sour beer. So it was like... These are the new popular beers that the millennials all like, which is sour. It's a beer that's got a very fruit forward flavor.
It wasn't forward enough. It was still in the back.
Not enough. Yeah, no. still well behind other flavors.
Yeah, I didn't like it. But anyway, I do not know what Tristan brought me, if he did. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, I don't know either. But yeah, that whole time, man, the Sand Dollar was great for us. The bands that James and Svet brought on, their other bands on the Bad Moon booking group that she does, that she books bands all around Vegas and has relationships with a lot of bands.
Yeah.
Beverly Chills. That guy was great. Came out
so weird and
cool. A couple special guests.
No idea.
Electric violinist and a bass guitarist and stuff.
I had no idea what I was getting into there. It was the weirdest eclectic mix of hip hop and I guess classical with that violin, because it wasn't like a true electric violin where it's all grungy. It was like just an amplified violin, and she was amazing. Holy shit, she was good.
She was really, really good.
And then the guitar guy was great.
The name of that band before them that was all instrumental. That was like
I love that.
Like if I would have dropped acid, I couldn't have enjoyed that band anymore. Right? Like it was. Yeah. They did that thing with the effects pedal on the main guitarist that just makes it feel airy and floaty and really, really, really cool. I'm trying to see if I can look up that.
I told James, we should find their name because I want to hear more. James and Svet's set, and then those guys after ended up being like, it was almost like going on a Pink Floyd tour without any actual Pink Floyd music.
Yeah, there was a lot of psychedelic, exactly, like a lot of psychedelic sound to them.
I loved it.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, loved it.
There it is right here. The band is called...
The Smoky Fritos.
Smoky Mountain Fritos.
Yeah.
No, it was called, oh my God, why is it?
The Dirty
there
Socks.
There it is right there. Peaceful Retreat.
Oh, Peaceful Retreat. I got to track that down.
Yeah, they were great.
James says, unlike them, they actually put music up on services, so I'm going to find them.
Oh, cool. And James and Svet began with my favorite Same Sex Mary song, which is Do No Good.
Oh, that's a great song.
And James even invited me up on stage. Actually, I would say Svet actually pulled me up on stage to do a James impersonation introduction to one of their songs.
Yeah, you nailed it. There were enough people. There were people there that have never fully appreciated where that impression has gone, and they got to see it firsthand. That was great.
One of their friends was in the audience. He was over by the bar getting a beer, and he heard me doing the impersonation. He's like, why is James introducing this song twice? And why does he sound so different?
That's great. Yeah. Those guys are the best.
And, they really are.
They killed it, as usual. We had a really good time. It was super fun, you guys. Got to come next time.
Yeah.
Out there.
And
if you didn't come.
Taskville, we're going to have... Kevin is working on the Taskville stuff right now. That's going to be done tonight. I recorded a new thing for him today that... after talking with all the contestants, we actually can award a winner.
Oh, wow. Really? You've got a name? You know it now, but you're not going to tell us till the video's done, right?
I know it now. And yeah, exactly. Not till it's ready. But
I'm in.
Somebody had a very decisive win. And
decisive win. Ooh.
Decisive win. Yeah, by a fairly good-sized margin.
Wow. I don't even know where to guess. I do know that Bobby is basically Rain Man. That happened.
Oh my God, Bobby and his
nuts.
Word palace that he built.
Unbelievable.
He told a story going around the Monopoly board. He told a story about four queens who worked out at Bally's because they like to be swole, and they wanted to get to the top of the stratosphere, and they traveled a stardusty road, and.
Yeah,
that was absolutely
amazing. I half expected him to say when he was done, he was going to run out of there because Wapner was starting. That's how Rain Man that thing was. It was amazing. Incredible. I have no idea. Yeah. I know I didn't win. I'm going to go ahead and bet money that I did not win, given my poor performance in the first task. There's just no way. So if I had money on this, I'd say Bobby, but we'll see. We'll find out tonight. When we get that video, and we'll put it up on the YouTube, we'll put it on. We'll do an audio version of it as well up on the feed. That'll be for everybody. Mm-hmm. And there was one other thing somebody was putting together. Can't remember what it was, but we'll give it all to you guys. You'll all get it.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, Riff Reckle says, Amy says, I think the last task should be weighted lightly because of the light situation. The light situation shouldn't matter to you guys because you had blindfolds on. So we could have, the place could have been pitch black.
Yeah. Also, it ticks me off what Brian did. I think it's brilliant, but it pissed me off. But it's brilliant. Because what he did is he made it so if you really listen to his words, all you had to do was mash one color and then dump the whole thing in a bucket.
Oh, yeah. Right.
In fact, you didn't even have to mash one color. shove it all in there, mash the whole
thing. Everything into one ball, flatten it, and then drop it in the bucket, and you would have gotten all 24 points.
You would have won the whole thing. But no one's thinking this while we're in the middle of doing it, you know? Anyway, it was fantastic. It was great. Brian kicked ass with all his stuff this year, and you guys all missed out. So come next time, and we'll have some more fun. Real quick here. Good news, everyone.
Good news, everyone.
Dungeon Murder is out on Kickstarter.
Oh, so good.
That's right. We played a bunch at the event, and that was super fun. Glad everybody had a good time with it. That made me very happy, because you never know.
I loved it. I really, and that's not just me blowing smoke up your ass, Scott. No. I had a great time playing Dungeon Murder, and I wanted to play more of it, but I wanted other people to have a chance, so I had to step away.
Yeah, step away to vomit, to throw up.
Step away.
Please step away from the game. it was really fun. I didn't expect to sit there and play it for 10 rounds or the hell we did. Mm-hmm. But it was well received, and already we have broken the first level, or the pledge amount. We did that within 2 hours of announcing it at the event, which is crazy because I didn't tell anyone else. I only told Vegas people. But I think the word got out. Maybe Kickstarter sent out notifications to the previous people who backed other projects. I don't know, but it went crazy real quick, and I was very happy to see that. It's up now. We're now in stretch goal territory. So if you want to jump on board now and take advantage of this rad, cool game I made, all the art and the design and everything's from me, you might like it. I had a whole lot of fun mm-hmm. making it, and I would really like
you to
have a copy.
You've gone 2.5 times past your initial goal.
Yeah,
so
which pleases me greatly. I'd love to get the next stretch goal. Is pretty good because it gives us like this really fancy card coding that you only see in like really expensive card decks. So I would love it if we got that stretch goal. But anyway, if you want to go over there, up your pledge or pledge for the first time, you can go to dungeonmurder.com. It'll take you straight there. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have to award something. We'll do this here.
Stand back and check your personal belongings. It's time for the Morning Forum.
As Robot Scott Fletcher says, it's time for the Morning Forum. So good to see him, by the way. Mm-hmm. Love seeing the Fletchers.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And I got punched in the arm by Christine Fletcher.
Oh, really? For what?
Because I said... it was out of context, but there was just like a conversation going, and I went, shitoutofluck.com. I just mentioned it.
Yeah.
And she punched me in the arm. And I will never, I'll never wash this arm again.
And she also corrected us on the shit out of luck that we've been typing it wrong, that it's shitoutofluck.com. A-O-U-T-A. And we've been writing, shitoutofluck.com, because Christine Fletcher has perfect diction, and we assume that she would not... compromise
it's pretty awesome.
Anyway,
they even have the landing page. It's shitoutofluck.com, and the movie, it says the movie title is Big, is what they wrote here. I don't know if that changes.
Because the audio that they sent was describing this movie, Big.
Yeah.
But they never said the name of the movie.
Right, exactly. And it's got an animated sky, beautiful thing going on. I think this should live in perpetuity on the internet and never go away. Anyway, we love them.
Yeah, yeah. So Morning Forum.
Let's get to this. So we have a winner from last time. It wasn't last week. It's basically 2 weeks ago. And our thing was about villains. Favorite movie villains. Best movie villains of all time.
Yeah.
Number one, far and away, with 23% of the vote, Darth Vader won that one. With a second place going to the Joker, any version. After that, Thanos at 8%, Hans Gruber at 7.2%, and then everything else. There's a lot of weird ones in here, like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang's the Child something. I don't know. The Child Catcher.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Khan, Harvey Dent, Ivan Drago, Jason and his mom. What the hell's that? Jason and his mom? I don't know what that is.
Jason and his mom. Oh, Jason Voorhees and his mom.
Oh, and his mom does.
The killing in the first movie.
Yeah, that's of course. What am I thinking? John Doe from Seven got a bunch of votes. Anyway, we got a winner from that group, and that winner is Cheese Biscuit. CHZ Biscuit. You are the winner, and I'll be sending you an email with your Frog Pants fun pack in the mail. So I'll get your address and we'll go from there. Congratulations and well done, Cheese Biscuit. today's nice. Topic is best classic video game character.
Ooh.
All right. So here's what you got to do. Go to the frogpants.com/themorningform. All right. Mm-hmm. Is where you want to go. And you're going to go vote for your favorites. We have things on here like Pac-Man, Mario, Link, Zelda, but also newer stuff like Captain Price, Master Chief, Sam Fisher, Lara Croft's on here, Commander Shepard, Guybrush Threepwood, Tom Nook. He's a real dick, that Tom Nook.
Oh, yeah. He totally is.
Takes all your bells, Brian. All of them.
Yes. I was broke. Yeah. All my bells yep. go to Tom.
All it asks
By
you for.
By the way, you owe a little bit more on your mortgage payment. Maybe you could get that to me before you buy yourself a little movie yeah. screen for your house.
Yeah, he's the one. Anyway, go vote and add your own if I don't have it on this list. We would love to get your take, and you could win next week when we announce the winner of that week's The Morning Forum. That's frogpants.com/themorningforum. Go get in there now. And we'll give out that prize next week. Okay. One other thing. Oh, no, that is all the things. That's it. That's all the things.
That's yeah. all the things we have.
Yeah. We're going to bring Dunaway in. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. There we go. Now, that's a guy we would have had fun with in Vegas, that Brian.
I know. We got to figure out what it's going to take. What's it going to take?
He told Dunaway me he's coming
to put
next
you
year.
Into Vegas.
He says he's coming next year for sure. That's what
is
he
that
told
a lock?
Me.
Is that a promise?
That's what he said. I don't know. We'll ask him again. Hey, look who it is. It's Brian Dunaway joining us for today's, half asses today is what we're doing.
Half asses.
Hey, Dunaway, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. I am doing great. I'm glad you guys are back from Vegas. Yeah. I missed you guys. Yeah. And let's hope for next year.
Yeah.
No Brian hope. You got to go. In Vegas.
You got to go. You got to. It'll be your first trip
to
Vegas. I can't
wait. It'll be my first. I lived near Vegas for a while. I never went. So I'm going to go. Gambling runs in my family. I hope to be broke by the time I get home and, destroyed.
You can go there Alcoholism and don't have too. To touch a single slot machine or anything. Like, there is so much stuff to do out there, and we don't even give you time to do that stuff because we do so much stuff for the show.
Yeah.
That's right. You know that goes when you go to, like, some place to gamble. It's like, I'll just stick in a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you're broke.
Yeah. I never we were there how many days? 5 days or something I got there?
Yeah.
I didn't do any gambling of any kind.
Yeah. I thought we could maybe get
didn't you though didn't you gamble
some,
your life
some Mad Max Fury Road slots.
Oh, I might have done that had I found one, and I never made it to the Cirque, so I didn't see it.
Yeah.
But if I had, I would have. That is one I would have done just because it's Mad Max. But they used
had to right go they, for that Furiosa
had,
bonus
exactly, and they had two in the Plaza last year. But they things did. Are modular, yeah, yeah. So I was talking
to if you. Yeah, if you ahead. If you lose, does a war boy come out and like huff some paint or what?
No,
what
he eats the beetle. Little... He eats the beetle crawling on his neck. That's what he does.
That's okay.
Right. But here's the thing: like last year at the Plaza, they had two of them. So this year, I was like, "Sweet, I'll go track those down." But the way slot machines work now, they're modular. They're just these big curved displays with programmable lights on the side, and they swap out like a board. And it's a whole new
game.
Yeah,
a little game. ROM, and it's a whole new game.
Yeah, so someone
Which
did that.
You'd think it'd be easy then to go up to a machine and say, oh, let me play Mad Max Fury Road, and you choose that like you do when you go up to one of those multi-different poker machines. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say, oh, I want to play this kind of poker or wild deuces or wild or whatever. You should be able to go up to one of those curvy screen machines and say, I want to play Mad Max or I want to play Wizard of Oz or I want to play
I agree.
Curvy screen machine.
Yeah. You know what? You're not wrong. But I mean, Nintendo did it in the 80s with the freaking Play 10 things or whatever. Why don't we have that now? What's going on, Vegas?
And you know what they say about the ladies of the 80s?
What do they say about the ladies of the 80s? We saw that in films.
The second thing they look at is those shoes.
Yeah, you guys want to hear something?
Ladies of the 80s that love the shoes.
Let me tell you guys something embarrassing.
The second thing they look at. So what's the first thing that ladies of the 80s look at?
We know what the ladies of the 80s are looking at.
Your huge pecs.
Referring to Black Rain.
It's oily, slicked back hair.
That's
what they're looking at.
And the cocaine in your pocket. But here's the thing. So I got to tell you an embarrassing film sack story real quick. Yesterday, we recorded the show, posted it. Everything's fine. I forgot that Scott Fletcher had indeed sent me an intro.
Yes, I saw that.
Because Vegas made me forget things. I completely spaced it, had it in a folder tucked away somewhere, just forgot. I just thought I didn't have it, honestly. Mm-hmm. So I played a robot version of him. And it was fine, but he sends me an email yesterday, and it was, I could hear hey, his voice. I indeed sent you a copy of
I indeed sent you a copy of the Black Rain.
Yep. So my apologies go out to the current owner and registrar of shitoutofluck.com for screwing that up. All right? My bad. I feel really bad about it. I feel like an idiot for doing that. Anyway, Dunaway, let's not feel like idiots anymore. Let's play a game against each other where the true idiot will stand supreme. Brian's going to explain these rules, how it works, and what we're doing.
That's right. Welcome to The Morning Half-Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you two the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers. Three of those answers are correct, but three of them are big old lies. Depending on how confident you feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses, but if any of those guesses are wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Get one right, you get a point. Get two right, gets you 3 points, and get all three correct answers, you get 5 points. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant, and I'm pulling contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Matthew in Dundee, Scotland.
Whoa.
Way out there, yeah.
Whoa.
Brian, you're going to be playing for Robin in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Nice.
Oh, very nice. I know Robin's all over the country, and now I know one in Virginia. Sweet.
Oh, there you go. Well, now you know one extra Robin. Let's go ahead and get to the games here, or the game. And you guys are both logged in. I've got our first question right here. I think I remember how to play this damn thing. By the way, we haven't played this since April 17th. That was the last time we did a half-ass.
What the frick? All right.
And here it is, May the 1st.
Mm-hmm. May the 1st. All right.
May.
Outdoor half-asses starts today. Let's talk about characters that survived the film. Which of these mothers actually made it through the film in which they appeared?
I love this.
So they're literally mothers. You're not just saying literally like, what mothers, are these mothers?
These mothers. Okay. No, yeah. Which of these mothers made it through the film in which they appear? Simba's mother from Lion King. Bambi's mother from, of course, Bambi. Dumbo's mother from, of course, Dumbo. Merida's mother from Brave. Star-Lord's mother from Guardians of the Galaxy. And Littlefoot's mother in The Land Before Time.
So which these are the ones that mothers? Survived, right?
Which survived? Which of these mothers survived?
I think I know this.
Okay.
Yeah, I do know this. I think I know all three.
I know. Okay. I definitely know two, and one. I'm chicken. So
okay.
I'm chicken. I'm
going chicken. Right. Oh, look at that. Going two. All right. You guys both settled on Simba's mother. Of course, Simba's mother lived.
Yeah.
Of course she did.
And she not only lived, she long ruled. Enough
to bitch and complain. It was great.
That's right.
That's right. And Merida's mother also made it through Brave.
Yeah.
However,
this one I couldn't remember.
Littlefoot's mother did not make it through The Land Before Time. Dumbo's mother survived. So Simba, Dumbo, and Merida.
Damn it, Brian. Gosh dang, I really thought this was going to be the first time I took a lead on this damn game.
I know. It looked really, really good. I'm glad neither of you chose Star-Lord's mother.
She's
lying. Yeah, that was sad. Cancer.
That was
sad and set up the whole awesome mix volume one.
Yeah, and had anyone set up Bambi's, or if anyone had selected Bambi's, we should be embarrassed.
Those were easy.
Take back your Disney card.
Exactly.
All right, so Brian going into round two with 3 points. Scott, zero, but let's see if we can change that thing right now. Let's talk about terms from table tennis. Which of these are actual terms used in the game of table tennis, or ping pong, as people sometimes call it?
Sure.
Dead ball, loop, tacking, skunk, pleat, and surge.
Oh,
which of these are terms actually used in the game of ping pong or table tennis?
I don't know any of these.
I have played table tennis a number of times in my life, but I have never heard anybody say anything other than, out, in. That's it. That's all I've ever heard. I've never heard anybody say any other word.
Yeah. I have no idea, dude.
I'm going to go with the ones that sound like stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's what I did. I locked in with two.
All right. You both locked in with two. Scott, you locked in with loop and surge. Brian, you locked in with pleat and surge.
Surge. So
a dead ball is a ball that was returned with no spin. Loop
Dang it.
Is a obvious. Shot with a lot of topspin.
Yeah, yeah.
And Skunk is an early victory rule. Nobody chose Skunk. Yeah, Pleat and Surge completely made up.
Oh, you got Skunked. Is that the usage?
Yeah, you got Skunked. Exactly.
Damn it.
Early victory rule. Skunk rule.
All right.
All right. You'll definitely do better with this last one. You'll definitely do better with question number three.
You always say that.
Yeah, you always do.
You're such a liar.
I don't think you will. Let's talk about which of these are actual Japanese drinks. Which of these are things that you can imbibe upon in Japan?
Right.
Hot cow piss, cool piss, whiz, floater, donkey juice, and Pepsi ice cucumber.
These are all.
Which of these are real things?
There are three of these that are real. Are you kidding?
Three of these are real in Japan. Hot cow piss, cool piss, whiz, floater.
I'll go back to
donkey juice.
I'll go back to my previous statement. I'll go back to my previous statement. Is Ibit is full of shit when you say we should call this half asses and full of shit. This is not easier.
No. I mean, donkey juice? Damn it.
I don't know.
I locked in.
I'm just going to. Here's some answers that are probably wrong. There you go.
All right. You both locked in. Cool piss. You both settled on cool piss. Yeah, cool piss is a real drink in Japan. So is hot cow piss, and so is Pepsi ice cucumber. Scott,
what? Look at Scott.
All three.
Look at Scott.
I came up from behind.
Came up from behind with a fiver whiz. Surprisingly, not a drink, and nobody fell for floater or donkey juice.
I can just hear him going, "Happy time, friendly Pepsi ice cucumber." I just hear it. I can hear them saying,
"Yeah, that one."
That feel like bait.
Weird Pepsi flavor that you can't get anywhere else but Japan. And I looked for it when we were there, and I couldn't find it. But
so this, other than a few sips in Vegas, this non-drinker got all the drinks right. I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
I know. Yes. Well, these aren't.
I'm sorry,
alcohol.
Robin.
Oh, are they just regular things?
They're just regular drinks. I don't know what hot cow piss is, but
so this Pepsi one must be a Pepsi. You know, maybe only over
it's
there,
a
but a Pepsi
flavor.
Thing.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, there's a bunch of regional Pepsi flavors that we can't get here.
Oh, between Kit Kats and Pepsi, the Japanese will put anything in either one of those.
Yeah.
Those are two biggies.
I'll tell you what, I would drink Pepsi Ice Cucumber if somebody could find some and send them to us to test on the show.
For sure.
Yeah. But I don't want
this, by the way, is just a milk-based beverage,
oh,
by the way.
So cow piss is, what is cow piss?
It's a milk-based beverage.
I think saying it incorrectly. I don't think it's cow piss. I think it's calpis.
Calpis.
Is it calpis? So sure. Cool piss is the same thing, just cool?
I think it's just a cool version, yeah.
So the piss part is the milk part. So piss.
It's like a sugary milk, kind of a sweet milk.
Sugary
but,
milk.
But outside of Japan, it's called Calpico because outside of Japan, everybody thinks that you're saying cow piss.
Yeah, because it does sound like cow piss, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds just like cow piss.
And I ain't drinking
still get
no
Crystal
cow piss.
Pepsi?
No, they don't. They quit doing
that.
I wish they didn't. You know how you can get it, though? What's that brand, Brian, that we like that's the non-sugar stuff you get at, like... health food places. We bought it before. You like a certain flavor.
Is that called? Zevia.
Zevia has a cat. Yes. All of their flavors. You think when you're drinking, you're like, this is going down brown because it's cola, or this is like purple because it's whatever.
Down brown.
But if you go.
Coming out
also white.
Brown.
But if you go pour it in a cup, in a glass, they're all clear. Everything they make is clear.
Yeah.
So go get it that way, Brian.
What is this?
Yeah.
I think it's odd. It must have went down the same kind of thing you did. I'm looking at a vintage Crystal Pepsi, and it is not crystal clear. I would be concerned.
Like it's over time.
It is. It is brown. Yeah. I'll put it in the.
Bad.
There you go. I put it in the Discord.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I'm looking at meat.
Oh my god! It's not just a little bit brown. It is a.
Yeah. Is that what happens after a certain amount of time, or is somebody effing with me?
Let me see this. This is.
I mean that white cap on the top looks to be intact still.
This seems insane. There's no way this is real, right? Somebody poured
vintage
something else
from
in there.
92, 93.
I like all the photos. Well, make sure you include six photos of your Crystal Pepsi. So they've got
upside down,
three right side up, and two upside down, and three.
One
upside
where they
down.
Flipped it in. Where they flipped it and landed it and then made a bunch of noise about it.
Exactly.
If you do it fast, it's like an animation. You have to go. Well, all right. There you go. Dirty brown Crystal Pepsi aside. Dunaway, I win. You lose. I win.
You did. I'm glad. I was starting to feel
you're
sorry
glad,
for
you're
you,
glad so for good. Me. I was feeling sorry for myself as well, so I feel pretty good about it. And I'm happy to win for a guy named Dundee. That sounds like a cool name if you live in Scotland.
Let's talk about what the prizes were. So Matthew is getting a copy of Pathfinder Kingmaker Enhanced Plus Edition.
That's awesome good. Game.
Not just the Enhanced Edition, not just the Plus Edition, but the Enhanced Plus Edition.
Yeah.
And a copy of Stick Fight. But Robin and Lynchburg, you're getting a copy of System Shock Enhanced Edition. So many enhanced editions.
I would say that that's a better prize. This is what Scott always does when he loses. I would say that was actually a better prize. The one you got,
if you've never played System Shock, yes. I would argue, though, that Pathfinder Kingmaker is a really rad CRPG and it's worth playing. So I think he's either way. You know what we have today? We have a pair
it's
of winners.
Odd how, two it's winners. Odd how Scott's game is always the best.
It's always better. It's always better.
Try your product.
Yeah. Here, I'm going to play Fletcher's thing.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
He is a winner. They are both winners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're all winners. Today, so just keep winning, Dunaway. Look, Wednesday, we're doing Play Retro. That'll be fun. So look forward to that. We'll promote and pimp it on Wednesday when you're back. But we got some big stuff lined up for
Chip,
that.
A hint is Murder Death Kill.
Yeah, Murder Death Kill or MDK.
Ooh, cool.
Very weird transitional game. Kind of a pivot point for the industry.
I love playing that game. You know, you give people three choices of potential mates.
Yeah.
And you basically say the Golden Girls, Murder, Death, Kill, and you have to choose which one you'd murder, which one would be dead, and which
Mary?
One you'd kill.
Yeah. And there's no Marys in there.
I thought it was Mary.
There's no Mary.
It's usually no Mary. Okay. It's MFK. No, not
yes, K. There's
no
FMK. Yeah.
There's no K.
But aren't you kind of out of luck with the Golden Girls? Aren't they
all
golden gone?
Yeah.
All of them? Are all of them dead?
They're all dead.
Them. Okay, that's right, because Betty White was the last one.
She was the final. She was the single holdout after all that.
She's like, I'm not doing it.
The final girl.
Yeah, the final olden golden girl. All right, Dunaway, this has been fantastic having you here. Boy, what a treat. What a thing. Yeah. We'll have you at Vegas next time. Kiss our butts. Bye. All right. He said no you before I could hang up. That's great.
No you.
All right. We have time for a story or two for the news. Yeah. So let's do those. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Zoo Food.
Oh, Zoo Food. So we went to the zoo yesterday, took the boy and the baby, and that baby is the most chill. It's like hot out. It's like 85. She just sat in her thing that we pulled her around on this wagon. She kind of sat up and just looked around the whole time.
Did she have a favorite animal?
She didn't really seem to notice that there were animals involved because she's only 6 months old. Six-month-olds apparently don't have the perception quality, but Van loved everything, and his favorite, I think, was probably the gorillas. He really likes gorillas. Yeah. He kept begging for that. But anyway, we had while we were there, we had food because you got to eat, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm here to tell you, don't eat zoo food. I got like grumpy gut.
Oh, really?
My guts have been grumpy.
What did you have?
A pretzel that cost too much, and then some kind of hot dog thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It wasn't.
Do you
think
it's all zoo food in general? Do you think it's just the choices you made?
It's a fair point, but I think it's this zoo. Hogel Zoo doesn't have a lot of good choices.
We get some really good food at the Denver Zoo.
We need to up our game here. And it was all. It didn't matter about how bad it was. It was all the food is stupid expensive.
Sure. Yeah.
Like what happened at the zoo? Everything's expensive now. Anyway,
hopefully the animals eat better than the people.
One would hope.
Yeah.
Let's rip through the story here. There is an R-rated Winnie the Pooh series in the works from the Sausage Party director.
Oh, good. This is not Cocaine Bear, right?
No,
this is a different thing.
Different thing. Now, here's the funny thing about Winnie the Pooh. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh is not. Is a open domain thing. It's a
correct. Yeah, it's not entered
copyrighted.
Public domain.
Exactly. It's not, and it was never a Disney original in the first place. It was Disney made it famous, but this existed prior to all that. This is like
way earlier.
Exactly. Yeah. You and I could go do what was the other one I was thinking about the other day? There's one that everybody
Steamboat Willie, the Mickey Mouse featured in Steamboat Willie has entered the public domain, even though Mickey Mouse has continued on, and Disney will be very litigious if you use it incorrectly. But what is it, Mortimer Mouse?
Mortimer Mouse. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
but whatever the original. How does Disney, the lord of all trademark protection, how did they let that one slide?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get it.
I mean, I don't know if it's a matter of letting it slide. I think it's just it reaches a time period that you just can't renew it or something, or where it's...
Oh, maybe they can't. Maybe that's a good point. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't followed it very close, but I do know they still use it for their logo. They have that intro to all Disney movies now where Steamboat Willie's doing his little whistle and turning the thing, and he starts out as like a pencil sketch and then morphs into a thing. Yeah. So I guess they still want to use it, even though it's... I guess they can. It's public domain. Anybody
can. There's a whole thing. If you've been watching this season of This Week Tonight with John Oliver, they've had Oswald. I guess, is it Oswald the Mouse? I think that might be it. Come out and the Steamboat Willie version of Mickey and do some things that Disney probably wouldn't approve of.
No, that's about to happen with him, Winnie the Pooh. So here's how this is going to go.
Excellent.
The fan favorite bear created by English author A.A. Milne or Milne.
A.A. Milne.
Okay. Yeah. An English illustrator, E.H. Shepherd. This is back when we just used two letters
first
and then a last
initials.
Name.
Yeah, exactly. B.R. Ibbitt.
Yeah, I like that. What's mine? S.B. Johnson.
S.B. Johnson.
Yeah, S.B. Johnson. It's not bad. I can see that on a book or something.
Not bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'll start doing.
S.B. Johnson.
Yeah, why not?
Why does it sound like isn't there already a company called SB Johnson Wax or SB Johnson and Company or something like that? Sounds really familiar.
SB Johnson.
Why does that sound
when you said wax, why is that familiar?
J. O. R. O. said it too, and SB Johnson, a family company. It is a thing,
isn't it?
S. E. Johnson. S. E. Johnson is the that's right.
S. E. Johnson. Okay.
S. E. Johnson. Yep, so it's really close.
I hear it all the time.
S. C. People are saying S. C. Correct. S. C. Johnson.
Yeah, it's always on NPR podcasts and shows and stuff.
This show brought to you by S. C. Johnson Family Company. Let's get on that too.
Yes, Rainbow Bright. Blaine is my middle name. It's my dad's name. Anyway, they are here. Check this out. They're taking Winnie the Pooh and they're calling it Blood and Honey. All right. Oh no, this already happened, I guess.
Yeah, it already happened. I've seen a trailer. It's janky. I mean, it feels like that Willy's Wonderland level of level of production. Yeah. But
looks pretty bad. It says Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey was released, and despite being labeled as one of the worst movies of all time. That's a hard statement to make.
Yeah, it is.
A sequel to the horror movie is already in development. And if that wasn't enough, an R-rated live-action animation hybrid series about Christopher Robin is now in development at Boat Rocker Studios, Shamir Anderson and Stephen James Bay Mills Studio. These are the people responsible for Sausage Party, which was all about, hey, these hot dogs and these buns look like wieners and vaginas. So here.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did. The way they drew them, they did.
They really did. I never saw it.
A movie enjoyed by a crazy neighbor. I've never seen it either, but they had it going one day. We were over at their house and they were watching it. And it's like, all right, yeah, this is kind of funny. It's Family Guy kind of comedy, right?
Humor.
Like it's
some of that Family Guy humor.
Humor. Hey, Lois, it's a little bit like that, Lois.
The pilot for it is being headed up by this it's being helmed by Conrad Vernon. He's known for Sausage Party and directing Shrek 2.
Mm.
Well, that's interesting. The character is blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they're just going to make a dirty thing. That's what they're going to do. And that's
dirty,
fine.
Grimy, gory.
That gory, disgusting, horrible thing you don't want your kids to see.
Yeah.
But I might be curious, you know? I'm an adult.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm an adult.
I don't think...
So maybe.
I don't think it's a full, like, oh, let's watch the whole thing for film sack, but it might be like a, let's watch 30 minutes of it for couch party or something.
Yeah. Oh, couch party's a good idea. Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of which, that'll be happening this week.
That's right. Second half of Vegas Vacation.
That's right. Which is such
a weird... We bookended our Vegas Vacation with Vegas Vacation.
It's a very weird thing we've done with that, having that movie be on the outsides. But anyway, that's coming up soon. We're going to take a break when we come back. Steven Schleicher will be here. Missed having him here last week. Missed seeing him in general. I'd like him to go to Vegas. What's his deal?
It'd be great. You know, I think I would bet that he just doesn't like Vegas. And I think it's a matter of like saying, you know, what we do is so you can avoid Vegas for the most part, but coming and doing what we do.
Sure, sure. But we're happy to have him here is the main point. So that's coming up here shortly. Stick around. Brian, play a song in the meantime.
Oh, this is so good. So Canadian punk group Single Mothers have a brand new album that just came out this last Friday. It's called Roy, R-O-Y, or if you're a Canadian hockey player, it's pronounced Wah, which might be because they're Canadian. Who knows? Maybe it is pronounced Wah. Anyway, this came out via Dine Alone Records. Big thanks to them and Clarion Call Media for letting me know about this. This is great. This is a really, really good album. And having listened to the whole thing, I picked out Sad Dumb Game as the track I wanted to play from it to get you all excited for the release. Here are Single Mothers from the album Roy with Sad Dumb Game.
Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Jeepers, creepers, jumping jee, time for spring, time for spring. Go darn sleepyhead, you be. Time for spring, I say. No more time to lay in snooze. Time for spring, time for spring. Not one speck of time to lose. Time for spring, I say.
You did a fine job, boy. Congratulations.
The Morning Stream. Ungrateful bitch.
Sorry, that one always cracks me up for some reason. Always gets me. Anyway, hey, Brian, I don't know who that was, so you're going to have to tell me one more time.
Sure. That was a song called Sad Dumb Game from a band called Single Mothers from their brand new album, Roy. And what's interesting about the band Single Mothers is it's always been more of an experiment. There are no permanent members except for the guy behind it, Drew Thompson. So it always constantly changes. They always sound different. And that is their current iteration from the new album, Roy.
Love it. Love it. We're going to call our friend Major Spoilers slash AKA Steven. Here, check this out.
And now welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
Yeah, he is. Look at him over there. Yeah. What are you doing, Steven? What's up?
Not a whole lot.
We've got Dalek. Yeah. Steven Schleicher.
We got it.
Okay, hold on.
We'll wait while you restart Discord.
Exterminate. Exterminate. Yeah, that was pretty good.
You never know when that's going to come up, but...
Nope. It's a bitrate thing I learned. When you got different software using different bitrates, sometimes I'll throw it off. Steven, are you back? Are you there?
It happens.
Hello? Steven?
All right. Let's try that.
Yeah, you're good now.
Heaps better.
Yeah, heaps. Heaps is a good measurement. I like it.
I like that. That's really good.
I need to measure in heaps more often.
Yeah.
Steven, it's good to have you. How was your week away from us?
It was fine. I mean, here we are almost to finals week, so students are freaking out left and right. So it's a good reason not to go to Vegas.
Are you?
you could probably put bets down. Who has more flop sweat? A person with their last chip at the blackjack table or whatever it is, or a student who's looking for their instructor and they've gone to a Nerdtacular.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, no kidding, that would be,
yeah
that'd be great, right? Oh my gosh,
is this a stressful time for you or just for students? Like, do you have a lot to do? I assume you do.
I really am just waiting for final projects to roll in, so
gotcha.
We are down to the part where it's like, okay, I'm done with lecture, so I'm here if you guys have questions on your projects and want me to look at them and comment on them.
Well, you're a teacher I wouldn't mind having. You'd be a cool instructor. I wouldn't mind that. Yeah, what would you teach me, Steven? First thing you'd teach me, what would it be?
Oh, so here are the classes I teach. I teach beginning, advanced, and intensive video production.
Fantastic.
The editing class, computer editing of video.
Yeah.
And the computer graphics for film and video.
I'll do that one. I'll do that
so
last
that's
one.
After Effects, special effects stuff. Uh-huh. I think you'd have fun with that one, Scott.
I would have fun with that one.
Oh, for sure.
I didn't know you were like an After Effects pro. You should make cool stuff for us.
Man, you should. Everybody should go and grab their copy of Adobe After Effects in a book, like the last 7-8 editions, and flip it open, and you'll find a bunch of stuff that I've written for them.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, that's cool.
You're an Adobe man. Well, good. It's good to have you back. I missed our segment last week, so we're going to make up for it today and talk a little bit about a little bit of doom and gloom out there right now in comics.
Maybe a little bit of doom and gloom.
Maybe a little bit. We don't want to be too hyperbolic, but let's talk about digital comics and the current state of things. This is my favorite way to consume comics now. I really do enjoy digital comics in the current form, and I subscribe to a few services and also a few friends. Anyway, tell me about how that's going. Is it not working out?
So, no, it's working out fine. But here's the thing. Two things happened in quick succession of one another. The first was that it was announced that Comixology laid off half of their staff, number one. And then number two, 2 weeks ago, Marvel sent out a thing that says, hey, for people who have been using the Marvel Comics app since the iPad launched so many years ago, we're shutting that down in June. So today is the last day. May 1st is the last day that you can buy digital comics on the app. Otherwise, all your stuff is going to migrate over to the Marvel Universe app.
Right.
So you'll still be able to access your Marvel comics. So why is this happening? And why is everyone suddenly freaked out? Well, first of all, think about what's been going on for the last 3 years. Literally, Comixology has been working to integrate their system in with the full Amazon marketplace and to move everything over to the Kindle edition.
Yeah.
They had a lot of delays. Their launch didn't go well, those kinds of things. But that project is done. So you don't need all of those people employed when that project is over. So that's part of the reason why so many people have been let go.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that I think because of this Kindle integration in the digital comic space, there's very little reason for the Marvel app to stand around by itself. And so I think Marvel also just wants to keep everything within its own silo. And so that's why they're ending that program and moving everything over to the Marvel Universe app. Of course, this has everybody going, oh, no, digital comics are dying. Digital comics in 2021 sold $170 million in sales, that's which is the good. Highest it has ever been.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was trying to look for the 2022 numbers and I can't find them, but I think that they are just as high or higher. So even if digital comics only represent about 10% of the overall comic sales in the world, Amazon isn't going to say no to $100 million.
No, hell no. That's not a, even for Amazon, that's good. That's good revenue, right?
Yeah. So So for people that are freaked out that their digital comic sales are going to go away, it's I'm going to say no. What's the bet on that, Brian? If I were in Vegas right now,
I would.
What would be the odds of that?
Yeah. 1,000 to 1.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, I'll take that bet.
So basically,
here's my dollar.
Basically,
one will get you 1,000. Place your bets.
My only problem with the way Amazon's running thing, and by the way, Amazon laid off a ton of people. This was part of that. So if people think they targeted Comixology, they didn't really. They targeted everything. Twitch lost half their staff, or not half, but a huge bunch of people, 10,000 people or something at Twitch. It was crazy, or something like that. I can't remember what the number was, but it was a lot of people, and it was kind of across other departments, which is also a thing happening in tech in general. So I think it's all kind of that. It's easy to look at that and get hyperbolic and go, oh, comics are dying. We can't do digital anymore. And it's really not quite the story.
And I think part of it in some other shows in the Frog Pants Network have already talked about this. I think a lot of it is, you know, it's summertime. We are now, quote unquote, out of pandemic, even though we're not.
Yeah.
And so people are going outside more. And during pandemic, sales of everything were high because people are like, I need something to comfort me while I'm locked in at home. So I think we're kind of seeing a little bit of dip both in streaming and in other digital areas. And so we are seeing, in an effort to cut costs, Disney and Microsoft and Amazon and all of these tech companies laying off people, I think, for a lot of those reasons. They've scaled up and now it's time to scale back.
It's kind of across the board, which is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like all things, they just have to sort of fake growth for the next year. And then they'll hire people again.
Yeah.
It'd be the same cycle all over again. All right. Well, that's good news that it's not truly dying, but it is a bummer about those layoffs. And also, I just think Comixology is a weird husk of what it used to be. And it's clearly because Amazon's trying to push everything over to the Kindle app. And I, you know what? I'm fine with the Kindle app being a home for comics. I just need it to be less insane in there. Like, it's just a big mess.
Right.
I opened it up the other day and I was like, where the heck are my comics? What are all these other things? It's like, I just need a section for that's just like, here are all your digital comics.
Yeah, here's
it's
comics.
Like, you too got in there and said, hey, we're going to put some songs in here too. We couldn't get them on your iPad, so we're going to put them in here.
Yeah. And it's weird because your book is right. You know, your books are all mixed in. And it's like, no, you guys are wrong about how this works. Like, this is a categoric difference.
Give me my books in one section. Give me my comic book in another section.
It's not
well
hard.
even more so, they need to break that out into subsections, right? So just like when you go to the library or a bookstore, hey, here are all your fiction books, your nonfiction books, here are your biographies, here are your sci-fis, here are your lasers and swords and all of that stuff. So,
I have one other complaint. I know they have a little spat with Apple with the App Store fee, right?
Yes.
They don't want to pay it, so you can't buy books or comics in the app on an iOS device. You have to go to the website, and then it's just there. That's all fine with me, except for this one aspect, and it's been true the entire time that this has been a thing, including Comixology. If you're going to do that, great. Send me off to Amazon to pay for it. I don't care. But tell me how much it is in the app. You don't need to hide. They don't show the price at all. They just say, you got to go to Amazon to do this shit. Tell me right there that it's $3.99 and that I need to go to Amazon to pay for it. Why not include the price, even if I can't buy it there? I don't understand that.
I don't know how easy it is to update prices on things, but remember, 3 months after a single issue comes out, the price drops dramatically, and then another 3 months later, it drops again. And I don't know if that's the reason why they're doing it.
It's got to be that they can have all of that data has to be dynamically coming from the same place.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's really.
Yeah, I don't know. That's really weird.
Is it an App Store rule? Says Mac Addict. Is that true? Mm-hmm. So if you list your price, you can't then send them off. Oh, see, that's even worse. Freaking Apple needs to cut that out, and Amazon needs to quit being so stringent. Let's come to the middle. Let's find a way. You guys, find a way. Okay? Find a way. What happened to IDW Publishing? I don't know what's going
on. Well, so this is maybe not so great news, but last week,
of the doom and gloom.
This is a little bit more of the doom and the gloom. So IDW Publishing laid off 2/5 of its staff on, I want to say it was like Thursday last week, which is a huge cut to what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they've been delisted from the New York Stock Exchange and don't have any of that. They laid off a lot of their marketing department. They laid off a lot of vice presidents. They laid off a lot of their other staff that manages things. Jamie Rich, I believe, is the new editor in chief. And this seems kind of scary, especially since IDW for years has been a really great place to go to for your IP comics, your Star Treks. Used to be there. You had some Star Wars stuff over there, some of their Disney things, Transformers, G.I. Joe. They lost the G.I. Joe and Transformers rights last year, and we haven't seen where those are landing yet. Maybe we'll find out at San Diego Comic-Con. But I think this is me off the top of my head looking at this. When you think about their stock prices, IDW Publishing or IDW Media has really three branches to it. They have their comic books, which a lot of people know. They have their IDW games, and then they have their IDW Media, which is television and movie production, right? So IDW Games went away, I want to say like a year and a half ago, when they released the Batman animated series board game. That was the last release that they did. Yeah. So there are no more sales coming from games. They haven't announced any big deals for their IP licenses, including Wynonna Earp, which, you know, was making them some really good money when that was on Sci-Fi Channel. And Lock and Key is no longer being run over at Netflix. So there's huge amounts of money that have gone from those other two areas, which only leave the comic book publishers. And the amount of money they had coming in took a real big dip because of those losses. So this is something that people should be watching, looking at. I don't think that the company is going to close anytime soon. This time next year, maybe that might be a little different. But I think right now they just need to regroup and figure out, well, if we don't have these other two legs of the stool to hold us up, what do we do? How do we make our income?
Yeah, it's weird. I'm looking at their other IPs right now. They still have Star Trek, the Sonic the Hedgehog stuff.
My Little Pony.
Yeah, TMNT. So they got all the Turtles, a few other things like that. They do list. Let's see here. Where did I find it? They do. Oh, they have the entire. They're the D&D comics.
Yes, they do those as well.
License as well. So these all seem like big IPs that could keep you afloat if you're things are okay over there, you know. But it sounds like
and I think when you have phenomenal growth, when they burst onto the scene with their movie and television stuff and their games, they grew so fast between, I want to say, 2011, 2012, all the way up until pandemic. And then after that, everything is shut down. And I need to look today to see if there is a Writers Guild strike, because that also impacts their media side. If you can't write anything, if you can't really produce anything, then how are they going to get any more media projects off the ground?
Right.
So this is really a big, huge, major contraction. And if you look historically at IDW, I think it's IDW Media Holdings, or maybe just IDW Entertainment. You'd have to look historically at their New York Stock Exchange. You can see the moment when they had their first big television and movie deal, because their stock prices shoot up and stay pretty strong until about a month or so ago, and then it just drops right back down to almost nothing.
Interesting.
So it is unfortunate, but I don't think people need to be running for the hills just yet that IDW Publishing is closing. I think they still can make a lot with their comic book stuff, and if they have to spin the comic book publishing out of their entire entertainment division, they could probably do that as well.
What does IDW stand for? Do you know?
I do not know.
I was trying to find out on the site. It doesn't say.
I thought it was ideas. Yeah, their logo changed. They used to have like a light bulb in their in their logo many, many years ago. So I don't know if it has something to do with ideas or something like that.
Ideas, drawing, and
writing.
Writing. Windows 95. There you go. Nailed it. Well, I hope the best for them. They got a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
And I would like them to continue. Their Transformers stuff was always very good. It's a bummer that's gone.
Yeah, that whole thing is kind of a mess, and is really a result of what happens when toxic fandom militarizes themselves. Essentially, there were some things going on with the G.I. Joe and Transformers property that the quote-unquote real true fans didn't like. And so they were calling and harassing Hasbro directly, and I think that I can't 100% prove that, but I think that is why they no longer have that property.
They should have made Cobra Commander a Transformer. That would be cool.
Yes. Well, they've had G.I. Joe Transformers crossovers. And certainly if you go and talk to Hasbro, all of their properties are now part of this Hasbro verse, where G.I. Joe and Transformers occupy the same universe. So,
and Micronauts and ROM, right? I think are in that.
Are they all in the same?
I think so. Yeah. I can't remember the ROM. thing is kind of messed up. But
there was like a Metelliverse plan, like a movie Metelliverse, and that sadly never materialized.
That's freaking great. I love hearing that. Micronauts. Need more of that in my life.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
Yeah, you and I have always agreed on the Micronauts. That's an amazing IP. Underused. Well, this is great. There's more of this sort of content over at majorspoilers.com, and then there's the podcast, and there's everything else over there. Is there anything in particular you'd like to point people to this week?
A couple of big things, Scott. In 3 days, May the 4th be with you. Oh, so you got that. No. Then on the fifth, on the 5th, you have the new Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Yeah, the Guardians in theaters.
And
then on Saturday,
Yeah, you should get some tickets. I might Saturday, I think I'm going to that, actually, weirdly. I think I'm going to that's going to be my... I haven't been to the theater since Spider-Man No Way Home or whatever it was called.
Oh, really? No, this is going to be your chance to try the new theater, right?
Yeah, we're going to go to a new theater and do this. So I think I'm going. Yeah.
Very cool.
Sorry.
Yeah, we've got a Denver Tadpole meetup.
Scott is going to be very busy giving out the free comic book day drawings.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up. Our art, so my art's already done. It's Villains at the Beach, and I think we'll have our posting up soon. I forgot we're going to have doing all this with a Kickstarter at the same time is kind of a pain in the ass, but it doesn't matter. We're doing it. Yeah, watch for that. I'm glad you brought that up. Steven, is there anything else I should do to stay? You know, it's getting hot. It's getting warm.
Yeah, I know. I got to go pee because I'm really overhydrated.
Fantastic. That's just great.
Wow. Pointing out the negative aspects of staying hydrated.
Yeah, you stay too hydrated, gotta pee.
Wow.
You always hear that you can actually get water poisoning, you know?
Yeah. If you drink too much. You can overdo it for sure.
Well, here's the weird bit. I didn't know this. Taylor informed me yesterday, but that you shouldn't be giving your babies water up to a certain age because they... there's something that's it's worse. So they reject it or something weird
it's like
going
a process
on.
They don't...
Yeah. It's very odd. So I, you know, when our kids were babies, they just sucking on a water bottle here and there, whatever, no big deal. But I went to go give her a water bottle, give Phoebe a water bottle. Taylor's like, no, don't do that. We're not doing that till she's 11 months or something like that. And I don't know what that was all about. But anyway. Oh, and there's Carter in the chat. Happy birthday, Carter.
Oh, it was yesterday, right?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Carter.
She is an adult ass adult now. She turned 26.
Well, she became an adult ass adult when she turned 21.
Yeah, but it feels like 26 is like, yeah, you're over
she
the...
She can rent a car now, right? Yeah. I guess 25, yeah.
Yeah, you can rent a car. You get cheaper insurance. Or maybe it's... Yeah, your insurance goes down, I think, car insurance.
Oh, yeah.
What else? Sure. When you're 26, you start to feel like you're hurtling toward 30 when really you're still super young and you don't know it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Enjoy your 20s. Oh my gosh, I miss my 20s.
I miss my 20s like crazy. Mentally, I never left them.
Yeah.
But here we are. All right. That's going to do it for all our guests and stuff. We do have one call to play here at the end of the show and comment upon.
Let's hear it.
So I'm going to play it, Brian. This is about pest control. Here you go.
Fantastic. Hey, this is Mike for the morning stream. I was listening to the most recent episode of with the bed bug discussion. I'm actually a manager of a pest control company out of Tampa, Florida. And one of the cool things we use is a biopesticide against bed bugs, which is actually a fungal spore that you spray around like where there's infestations. And they bring it back to where they hide and stuff. And these spores will actually propagate and kill the bed bugs. I don't know. I just thought it was cool. I definitely heard of the heat treatment stuff before, but the company that I work for uses this spore. All I think of is The Last of Us, though. I'm pretty sure that these spores will lead to the apocalypse. I don't know. Just thought I'd drop that. Thought it was cool. Something different. Love the show though.
Yeah, it's very Last of Us, isn't it? Doing spores.
No, it totally is. I'm visualizing that. Wow, we didn't think that this weird spore that we were giving the bed bugs could transfer to humans, but oh no, it did, and now we're all carrying spores.
Yeah, feels like we're messing with fire there a little bit. But thanks for the follow up. I love that when these guys and when people call in about a thing we talked about because it's the area of work they're in. I love that.
Yeah,
it's the experts. Too, yeah, it's like getting experts here on this show. We need that in our stupid morning show. Yeah. Thank you for that. If you'd like to call in, leave a voicemail like it, 801-471-0462. You can also leave texts there. And while you're at it, send us emails, themorningstream@gmail.com. And while you're at it, join us on Patreon. Brand new month. Today's literally the first. If you've been on the fence in the past, never been a better time to join. Support your favorite multiple day a week podcast morning show by going to patreon.com/TMS. Okay.
We do it here for you 6 days, 5 days a week.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about this the other day. I dare anyone to do this, by the way. Go make a show that's this frequent with, you know, just you and one other person. Go do it and see how it goes for you. I'm here to tell you that it's not as easy as we make it seem, and we're really good at it. So here's what you should do. You should support that kind of innovation, damn it.
Don't try and do it yourself. Yeah. Support the one that's already doing it.
Yeah, support the one that's already doing it. We're doing it so you don't have to do it.
Exactly.
So get in there. Patreon.com/TMS for low as $1 a month, although that may soon be $2. We're looking at that. We're looking at it. We're looking at it. That's I do a bad Trump, so no one will care. Because it's not a good one.
No. I'm not going to try and do it. I'm not going to correct it. I stayed away from doing a Trump at all while we were in Vegas, and I really wanted to like break him out and say, yeah, you can see my tower over there, my tower. It's beautiful, standing there above them.
They won't let me gamble in there. They all ganged up on me, wouldn't let me gamble. That's the story, right? The people on the strip, like Steve Wynn and all those guys, voted
said
it down.
No Trump on the strip.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
So he had to go whoop, off to the side. Anyway, that'll do it for today's show. Big thanks, everybody, for listening, tuning in. Thanks for being here live. If you want to watch the show live, here's a reminder of how to do it. We air the show at 9 a.m. every morning. Go to frogpants.tv. It'll take you straight to the live stream. And we'd love to have you. Nothing wrong with that. It's nice to see this chat room after we come back from a long trip.
It is. It's like a virtual version of what we just experienced in Vegas, really.
Damn straight. Plus, there's a wrestler in there. Joey Image is there.
I know, just had surgery, but hopefully we see him. He's talking about coming up to Denver. Hopefully he does soon.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And also I want to have him on just to do like a quick check in with like, I got wrestling questions. He had neck surgery. I got questions about that.
Yeah.
Like, was it caused by the wrestling, you know, how the bad wrestling. Was it? That sort of thing. And then maybe get him to explain why he thinks that, it's the name of the game that he loves. My brain. What's it called? The zombie one on PlayStation that wasn't Last of Us. The other one.
Left 4 Dead?
Left, no. Time's gone. Time passes.
Death Strand. No.
Gone. Stays gone. That's
Days it. Days gone. Okay.
He can. Yeah, no, look at him freaking out. He is about that game the way you hear me talk about Fury Road. That's how he is about that game. So one of these days we're just gonna bring him in. And we're gonna say, I want to hear all this stuff. Just get to check in with Joey, and see how it is. Anyway, watch
Joey
that.
Joey brings wrestling.
Yeah, Joey brings wrestling. There you go. Change your name right now. All right, that's going to do it. Let's get out of here. Brian, play a song. I don't know what you got, but I'm excited.
Yeah, so got a request going out to Keaton. By the way, need some requests for the first half of the month. Got a lot for the second half of May, but I need some for the first half. This one for today goes out to Keaton. Says, well, hello there, Skull and Bone. It's finally here, my 30th birthday. I think I started listening to TMS and the Frog Pants shows around my 18th birthday, and boy, time has flown. I can't think of a better way of kicking off this new decade of mine than getting a song from the cover master himself. Please continue all the amazing work you guys do. My weeks would be so much longer without TMS, Film Sack, Skim, and all the other content you folks do. Nice. One last thing, a request for both of you. Any tips for someone entering their 30s? If you both woke up tomorrow at age 30, what would you do or do differently, do over, or do again? Ooh, interesting. Oh my Love gosh. The show, though. Keaton.
Well, my 30s were mostly spent kid raising, but also a bunch of this, right? Here's what I would do. I would, number one thing when I entered my 30s is I would get out of my head that 30 really meant anything. Because in my head it meant, you're 30 and you aren't like a millionaire by now, or you're not perfect in every way. Like, there is this expectation that's placed on 20-year-olds that when 30 happens, that's it. It's the over the hill moment or whatever.
Yeah,
complete and utter, total, 100% bullshit. Don't buy into it. No. Enter your 30s knowing. Nothing. No, yeah. It's nothing. You're still, I mean, all of it, honestly, all of it is nothing. We apply too many societal constraints on stupid numbers, age numbers.
Yes.
And I unfortunately fall for those.
Especially half of the hosts of this show.
Yeah, but, no, I do it all the time. And I hate that I do it. And so my recommendation is don't do like me. Who cares if it's 30? Just go.
Exactly.
Just go and be you. That's it.
Exactly. Yeah, Scott, can I get any random 3-second sound clip? So one random 3-second sound clip. I figured a 30-second sound clip is probably too long of a request. Yes, you're right, Keaton,
that's hard to see.
But one 3-second sound clip is good.
All right, let me see if I can find one that's a random one. This should be around 3 seconds. Here you go.
Portfolio. Hoodwink. Anus. Tackle. Morpho. Sorry.
That was technically 3.8 seconds, but close.
That'll work. That totally works. Yeah. All right. So Keaton wants to hear any song, any cover of a song from 1993. Ah, yes. 30 years ago, it was 1993. Some suggestions. I Will Always Love You. Whoomp, There It Is. Rump Shaker. Beck's Loser, maybe. But I'm sure the cover master has something. Oh, I've got something. How about this one? A song I didn't care for in 1993, but for whatever reason, I like this version. Kasabian recorded this a few years ago for the Triple J Leica version 13 in 2017. It's a cover of Cypress Hill, Insane in the Brain.
All right, here it is. We'll be back tomorrow. Oh, we didn't play this for him.
Let's party!
It's freaking the birthday, man. I gotta play that. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow. We got a whole week of shows, so welcome back and enjoy it. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you then.
Who you trying to get crazy with, they say? Don't you know I'm loco? To the one on the flamboyant supper, just toss that ham in the frying pan. Like spam, it's done when I come and slam. Damn, I feel like the son of Sam. Don't let me wreck ya, hectic, automatic. Got me going like General Electric. And the lights are blinking. I'm thinking it's all over when I go out drinking. Oh, making my mind slow. That's why I don't with the big bro. Oh, bro, I got to maintain. Kasabian is going insane. Insane in the membrane.
Insane in the brain.
Insane in the membrane.
Crazy insane, got no brain.
Too much, I'ma cover hours, time for the blubber blabber. To watch that Betty get fat, a fat boy on a diet. Don't try it, I jack your ass like a looter in a riot. Much too fat, like a sumo slamming ass, leaving your face in the glass. No, I don't take Gluto lightly. Punk is jealous cause you can't outfight me. I kick that style, wicked wild. Happy face, hunky, never see me smile. I rip that mainframe, I'll explain. Sergio is going insane. Insane in the membrane.
Insane in the brain.
Insane in the membrane.
Crazy insane, got no brain.
Like Louis Armstrong, play the trumpet, I hit that. Or something soon. I got to get my props. Cops come and try to snatch my crop. These pigs wanna blow my house down. Tick on the ground to the next town. They get mad when they come to raid my pad. And I'm out in the night. Who's glad? Guess I'm the pirate pilot of this ship. If I get with the ultraviolet dream, light from the headlight beam. Now do you believe in the unseen? Luck, but don't make your eyes strain. Kasabian is going insane. Insane in the membrane.
Insane in the brain.
Yes, we're insane in the membrane.
Crazy insane, got no brain.
Insane in the membrane.
Insane in the brain.
Yes, we are insane in the membrane.
Crazy insane, got no brain.
Ran from a tide. Won't let you hide.
Thank you very much. Love you lots.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Try my product.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.